Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Fan Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens with you. A little show we call Fesco and Dusty. The band is back together as we grind away throughout the summer. Hope everybody had a good time over the weekend. Back to work. Back to life, basically. It's kind of where we're at when it comes to this point of the day. We'll get to overreaction Monday in about 10 minutes. Maybe not. At first, I was going to tell Mac, I was like, I got my overreaction. And then I was like, I don't really think it is an overreaction. No.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall is back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Oh, it's not. It's 1,000% not an overreaction. When I was a kid, when my mother used to tell me this, I thought it was an overreaction. Dead on.
Yeah.
It's dead on because mine's the same as you.
Right. Kind of. So Bobby Witt Jr., one of the, if not the highlight of this season, right, so far. Again, once again, it's June, July. Bobby Witt Jr. starts to get hot. But the fact that Bobby Witt Jr. Is not starting as a shortstop for the American League at the All-Star game is an absolute erroneous joke. Jacob Wilson got the nod.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. Jacob Wilson is a fantastic rookie. He's had a great year. And he got the nod and plays for a team that has no city affiliate, right? And I think that there are times when maybe fan voting, and obviously I could sit here and be blue in the face and say it's not fair and then go back to 2015 and then Omar Infante was starting
exactly
at second base.
Right, yeah.
And maybe it's our city's fault that this has gotten to this point. But no doubt in my mind, if you were to go to Aaron Boone, the manager of the All-Star game for the American League, say, Jacob Wilson, Bobby Witt Jr., he would laugh in your face and say, you kidding me? I'll take Bobby Witt Jr. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but do you guys know who the shortstop is for Team USA next year?
Bobby Witt Jr.
Okay, thank you.
Bobby.
All right.
Yeah.
So it ain't Jacob Wilson. I know Bobby Witt's been in the league longer than Jacob Wilson, but I looked at the numbers, and Jacob Wilson only leads in two offensive categories over Bobby Witt Jr. That is batting average. By the way, he is not hitting 368 anymore. He's not hitting 358. He's not hitting 348. But wait, he's not hitting 338. He's hitting 335. Great average,
yeah.
Especially in today's age.
How
great
many people
average.
Are over 300 in baseball right now? 10?
I mean, I'd have to look it up.
Say 20.
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe,
the Royals
yeah.
have one, and it's Michael Garcia.
Right.
Eventually, it will be Bobby Witt Jr., the rate he's on. Oh, my God, that's a spider.
Well. You sound like my daughter yesterday who saw an ant and screamed like it was like, and then last night about.
Whenever I saw my aunt, I screamed too. I know, like, she's here.
Yeah, well, you have one of those aunts that takes all the stuff out of the refrigerator and throws them away.
Yeah.
About 2 o'clock in the morning last night or this morning, or maybe it was even later than that. We got a scream. You know, my daughter has her friend staying over there screaming. A rat came out of the tackies bag. And no, mm-hmm. It did not. It did not happen at 2 a.m.
And so.
Nine people.
Nine. There are nine.
Michael Garcia is
300. Yeah. Michael is eight.
Hanging on by a thread with 302 average.
So what? He's still doing
He's
it.
He's there.
303, baby.
So you look at the numbers, and Jacob Wilson leads in batting average at 335. Bobby Witt Jr. is in 292. Okay. Jacob Wilson's OPS is 845. Bobby Witt Jr. is 837. Bobby Witt Jr. leads in OPB. He leads in slugging. He leads by two full points in war. He leads in homers, doubles, RBIs, and stolen bases. Bobby Witt Jr. is on pace to, I think, probably break the record for the most doubles in a Royal season. I mean, he's at 30, and we're not even, we got
what
another.
What is the record, and who has
I think
it?
It's like
George?
I think it's like 54. Like, I think four guys have hit 50 doubles for the Royals. I think it's George. I want to say Gordon did it. Butler did it, and there's probably one more that I'm not thinking of.
Like a Willie Wilson, maybe. I'm trying to think
somebody.
Of somebody who's fast back in the day and you know, hit the
and
ball.
And we don't
a
have to
run.
Argue defensively who's better.
Yeah.
And this, again, is where, like, it's a – I get it. Like, the fans, they get to vote, cry all about it, you want Dusty. But this is another opportunity where baseball superstars can be put on the stage. Because if Paul Skenes is the starter for the National League, we don't get to see Bobby Witt Jr. versus Paul Skenes. by the way, thanks a lot, Pittsburgh, reshuffling your pitching staff, and Skeens pitched yesterday instead of pitching today against the Royals at home at 6:40 today. So the Royals missed Paul Skeens, which a lot of you might be either like, Dusty, we need to win. We don't want to face Paul Skeens. Look what Pittsburgh does when Paul Skeens pitches. It's sad.
It's creaky
2009 all over again.
I mean, I was looking at it this morning, and it's to the level of, like, embarrassing. Like, 25 starts. Or no, I'm sorry. He's given up 25 runs this year in 19 starts or something like that, has four wins.
Yeah, he's like 4-8 as a starter, yeah, and his ERA is like under two.
It's nuts. I mean, just look up Paul Skeens. Like, for whatever reason, they were trending today, and I'm like, why is Paul Skeens trending? And I saw the numbers. I'm like, oh, that's why Paul Skeens is trending now, because it's really
bad.
Every
single start.
They would have won tonight if Paul Skeens pitched. We would have got to see Paul Skeens, and then the Royals would have found a way to win the baseball game, because, you know, that's what happened. Here it is. Paul Skeens has a 1.95 ERA in his first 42 big league starts. It's legitimately crazy. And you look what he did yesterday. 5 innings, 5 hits, no runs, no walks, 10 strikeouts. Ugh. I mean, that's insane.
His whip's like 0.92. His ERA is like 1.19 or something like that. Or no, not even that. Higher than that.
I don't even know. I don't see that number on here right now.
In the All-Star game, you're going to get Jacob Wilson at short. And it's going to be cool. It's a rookie. But I agree with this text. Like, you let the superstars play. When I was a kid and the All-Star game was going on, and, you know, it was like one of those things you did at the ballpark where you used your dad's pen that he had randomly in his pocket to knock out the little Chads or whatever. It was always like, you know, Griffey was playing center. Tomey was playing first base. Manny was playing left field. You know, National League, it was Sosa, McGuire, Bonds. It was everybody you wanted to see. And now you're going to have, here we are.
Yeah.
Jacob Wilson going to start at shortstop, and we're not going to see Bobby Witt Jr. hit second for the American League All-Star in the top of the first inning of the game, because it's in Atlanta, so the American League will hit first. But again, like, it is what it is, man. But like, this is something where it's like there should be like a rule where you can debunk that. But I get it; it's the fans' vote. But literally, Jacob Wilson, like, people can sit here and be like, "Well, Bobby hasn't had a good year." I suggest you go look at the stats, just because he's not hitting .335. But he's hitting .292. You saw what he did on this road trip. Hit another yammer
yesterday. Yeah.
And since they went to Texas, we've seen that Bobby Witt Jr. That's where we've been. And I get Jacob Wilson's been doing it all year, but it's voting. And I don't know if that's our fault for not promoting it enough, but I think Bobby Witt Jr. was the biggest snub in the All-Star game, and I don't think that's an overreaction.
Well, I think for a number of reasons. Number one, Jacob Wilson was hot when everybody was voting, too. That's the thing. I mean, the voting takes place, what, beginning of May and June? So he was really, really hot. He was kind of the story of baseball. Then, so when all the fans were voting, he got hot. When the voting stopped, Bobby picked up, and he got hot, right? And so the voting was already done by the fans. So that standpoint, it's unfortunate. What I did see yesterday, and I didn't know this existed, and I really like this rule, they added in Clayton Kershaw to the All-Star game yesterday with a commissioner's exemption to make sure the legends of the games are playing in the All-Star game. And they said this is dated back. They did it for Cabrera 1 year, I think, and they did it for Albert Pujols, I know, his last year in baseball, and they did it for Clayton Kershaw. And I didn't know that existed until yesterday. And
did they do that with Mariano, or did he just get in?
I think he just got in. I mean, he's the only one to ever get 100% of the Hall of Fame vote, so I would imagine like every year he's just getting
in. I don't think he did. Remember, we looked at this. It was like 99.7.
No, that was Jeter, 99.7. Oh, yeah, that was Jeter. Mariano got 100% of the vote. Nobody better at their job in professional sports than what Mariano Rivera was.
Bonds.
Back in then. you can make
it's only what I can argue.
Yeah. I mean, but like Mariano Rivera at that position for that long a time, too. Like, you don't see closers but 3 years in baseball, and it's on to the next. And so they come up with this commissioner's list I thought was really good and whatnot. Bobby got in, thank goodness. How much will he play? I don't know. I think he's a guy you do want to feature. I was watching the broadcast of the Diamondbacks over the weekend. And, you know, that's like a state-run operation. You know, they're owned by Major League Baseball, so it's like three cameras and whatnot. But their broadcaster, Bob Brenly, who was the D-backs manager when they won the World Series, Bobby Witt Sr. was on that team. And they all weekend long, they kept showing this picture of Bobby Witt Jr. and Bobby Witt Sr. at the 2001 World Championship, right? Mm-hmm. And it's when Arizona beat the Yankees that year. And Mariano Rivera, frankly enough, blew that game, and they ended up winning. And there's a picture of Bobby Witt Sr. and Bobby Witt Jr., 1 year old, and he's holding him in the World Series trophy, right? It's a really cool picture. And they somebody, I'm not kidding, asked Bobby what he remembers from that. He goes, I was one. <All right. laughs> Somebody legitimately asked this gentleman what he remembers about the 2001 World Series when he was one. He goes, I was 1 year old. I don't remember anything about
that. Mac, what do you remember about 9/11?
I
was like, what are you doing asking this guy? And so, but anyway, they were talking about like just eras of baseball, right? Mm-hmm. And like, would Bobby Witt fit into that era when you were managing the Diamondbacks? They asked Bob Brenly, and he goes, this is a guy that would fit into any era of Major League Baseball. He goes, I don't care what era of baseball we're talking about, he would be the starting shortstop. And so you hear all of that, and that's why you look at the All-Star voting. Hopefully Bobby still gets a nice bonus out of his check for making the All-Star team and didn't have to be an All-Star starter. But that's what happens when you allow it to the voting. A lot of times, the right things don't happen when you open it up to the people, which is why I think the Royals have no interest in having another vote. And so here we sit. The voter spoke, right? It happens all the time. The voters speak, and we go like, I don't really agree with that decision. But that's what the voter said. Jacob Wilson was hot when it mattered most, and so Bobby has to kind of play second fiddle to him. But Bobby is not second fiddle when it comes to Jacob Wilson in baseball. He was like the first guy chosen in Team USA behind Aaron Judge. And so that tells you how good he is and what the people in baseball think about him. That's a big reason I like watching the other broadcasts too, is because you really get to hear people, you know, glow, if you will, about our guys, because, you know, we glow about our guys all the time. It's good to hear it from a different perspective.
Because you know who's starting center field for the American League?
Mookie Betts. No, I don't. Who is
Javi Baez? That's right. Yeah, Javi Baez and Pete. The stat I saw over the weekend was Javi Baez and Pete Crow Armstrong are both going to play and start in the All-Star game, and they were both Mets like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Or whatever the hell it was. I don't know, but. So, again, I try not to be clouded with royal blue glasses or bias, so I reach out to a baseball insider, and I'm like, hey, I just want to throw this out here. I know you're probably busy, but am I being biased by saying that Bobby Witt Jr. should start the All-Star game over Jacob Wilson? And there are times when the one-word response is rude and sometimes when it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And the response I got within like 30 seconds was, no, it's a joke. And I was like, all right, thank you. And then I hear Vern do his pregame show, which Vern will join our show today at 8:20. Mm-hmm. And I hear Vern talking about it. And he's like, this is just stupid. And I see the text line as well. It's like, well, Kansas City, 500,000 people. Jacob Wilson gets pools from Vegas, Oakland, and Sacramento.
Yeah, but that's that.
I don't know how much, you know.
I'm not buying that. They hype Jacob Wilson up a lot. Like, you and I are maybe the only two that watch MLB Network on a regular basis. It's really good. I don't want to let people know how good it is because it'll get bad if people know. But it's really good. They've been hyping Jacob Wilson a lot on Major League Base MLB Network. And so I think there's something to be said for that. I mean, he came out of that gate hot. People started voting right away. People don't look at the big picture. And, you know, here we sit. And again, go back to 2015 when we got everybody in, right? If they wanted to change the rules, that was the year you changed the rules, right? That was the year you say, all right, we're not doing this. But I think it's limited again to only five, you know, and you have to create fake emails and all that kind of stuff. Who the hell has the time of day to sit there and create all these emails to go vote for baseball all-stars? God love you if you do. But I don't think the A's have that much power. If this was the NFL, I would say, sure, yes, it's the NFL. But how many people even really know who Jacob Wilson is, you know, outside of the baseball dorkism that is us, you know?
When I told you, I mean, the baseball card industry is his stock went up like 48% overnight once everybody started realizing, oh, he's in this sort of thing. But again, I don't know. And shout out to Chris Bubich. He got the nod yesterday. That was pretty cool. We listened to we had the game on at the pool because I don't know what was going on with like the Spotify or whatever, but like they put the game on and they were announcing, like, as Steve was like doing the game, he's like, and the votings are coming in. Chris Bubich is going to be an all-star. We're like, all right, that's cool. I'm like, so then Estevez is going to get in there. Maybe Lugo's going to get in there.
That was kind of one for me that I kind of looked at with Estevez, and I'm like, 24 save, 27 opportunity. That's really good. Like,
is it top three in American League, I think it says?
Yeah, like he kind of got screwed a little bit. Lugo, obviously, could have been in and should have been in. Maybe they thought he was already going to be traded to the Mets.
You could have an argument about Michael, but I mean, Jose Ramirez and Bregman are going to, talk about the stars.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, Michael Garcia, as good as he is, not a star. You know, he's just not a star. But I think Lugo kind of is a star right now. I mean, he wears his dad pants out there, has 27 different pitches, makes it look very easy. It makes it look like he's almost disciplining a child when he goes out there and strikes these people out. Like, he could have been in there. And I thought Estevez, too, was one that had an opportunity to get into the All-Star game.
Second in the MLB with saves. In the MLB.
Yeah,
he got two tied for first at 25 and then him.
I do like this futures bet for the All-Star game because next Monday is Home Run Derby.
Yep.
I'll geek out to that, obviously. All-Star game, they're going to wear the uniforms of their hometown again. I'll geek out to that.
Yeah,
and then Wednesday, Shoot, man, I don't know what we're going to talk about. Top five favorite pizza toppings.
Yeah, well, that's fine. That's, yeah.
But, and then all that sort of stuff.
But
as
also,
well.
Too, you mentioned like the uniform thing, right? So the Arizona broadcast on for an entire inning complaining about them not wearing. I wish they would wear the old uniforms. Like, they are wearing the old uniform. How does a Major League Baseball broadcast not know that we're wearing the Major League uniforms for our teams? It was a big thing last year, right? It was a big deal last year. Everybody complained. And what did baseball do? They actually listened to their paying customer and said, okay, fine. You guys want normal uniforms? We'll give you the normal uniforms. It was a big deal last year. And these two guys are sitting there going, I think they should go back to the, oh, in my ear, they're telling me they are going. No, duh. Like, no, we knew this.
We know.
But we can't get into an overreaction Monday. It's a little past 6:30, but I think Bob and I are kind of similar. I guess we can piggyback off each other here.
Yeah.
So I was telling people yesterday at the pool, I was like, hey, man, what a fun weekend. Good seeing y'all. I was like, the beginning of the end of the beginning.
Yep.
It's kind of the way I call it. He's like, oh, what do you mean? You mean a Debbie Downer? I'm like, no, it's just like, it's like, to be fair, I think these next 3 weeks are probably the one of the top two biggest vacation times. The holiday's over. School starts in about a month. And then you look at, you know, I think a lot of people probably go right at the beginning of June before it gets real hot in like the Floridas and the Arizonas and the, you know, wherever you go for like a, maybe it's a beach getaway, whatever, or you're going to, you know, Fargo. Doesn't really matter whether. Beautiful there this time of year.
Beautiful this time of year. I don't know about next week, but
yeah. So I was like, well, and then like, they're like, explain. And I was like, okay, well, 4th of July is over. We're basically hangering on Labor Day. And that's kind of like the beginning of football season. Fantasy drafts happen that Monday or that Sunday. It's the last hurrah of the lake. It's the last real like, you know, hey, there's nothing really going on until and then school starts.
Right.
And I was like, but it's the beginning of the end of the beginning. It's the beginning of the end because 4th of July happens and all of a sudden you're like, all right, summer festivities are pretty much over. We might have a vacation in a couple weeks. And then we come back and it's like, got to go to Target, get school supplies, got to get my kids' schedule set up, get back in the routine of things. And then, but also it's the beginning of like the next form of what is football, fall. People start realizing, oh man, I miss wearing those hoodies and those sweatpants and I like those crock pot meals. But I do think the 4th of July is the beginning of the end of the start of basically what's getting ready to happen because we're at what game? Like 94 of baseball? Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Yeah. But you're five below, you know, behind everybody. Yeah. And so we've moved on from that. But I think I'm with you. And this is something that I've heard from the time that I was a child. My mother was a school teacher, and one of her coworkers used to say it all the time. July 4th was the end of summer. And I used to laugh at that as a kid. But when you think about it, how fast does time go? Remember when it was going to be October here pretty quick, Mac? And yes. I mean, we're almost a year.
Remember like, we were in New Orleans?
Yeah, seriously.
5 months ago?
Right. Like, it goes by in a blink. And a lot of this is kind of dealing with my...
No, I know. March, April, May, June, July.
Yeah. Seven, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's nuts. But, you know, like, it's a lot of it starting as you get older, you start to deal with your own mortality. You see your kids grow up, and you realize how fast time goes, and you just want to hang on. But you can't. But I'm with you. I told Jen yesterday, I said, well, it's the last day of summer. I've been hearing that since I was a kid. And when you can sense football in the air, I don't know how to describe the smell, but Binkley's nodding right now. It's just a smell of like hot, stale air. And we drove through St. Joe on the way back, and I'm like, there it is over there. And you start to kind of get the senses. And then.
Can you stop by and show us?
No. No. Nobody wanted to stop by. See, yeah. We're driving home now. But, I mean, March, April, May, and June are kind of relaxing, kind of chill months. There's not a lot of pressure in those months. And now July's here. We got school in a month. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. Like, we were looking at our schedule. My wife asked me something about, okay, this day in March next year. Like, that's where we are. And looking at the kids' schedules, there is literally something every day once school gets started. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, these are the last true 3 weeks of summer where you can enjoy it. And I hope that's a message for everybody. I don't think it is an overreaction, Dusty. I think that's just reality starting to set in. When does training camp start? 2 weeks from today?
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Two weeks from tomorrow.
22nd.
Yeah, 22nd. Yep. Okay, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Yeah. You know how fast that's going to be here?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be crazy.
Ask the NFL players that are all on yachts and vacations.
Yes. Right about now, right? Like, the last place they want to be is St. Joseph, Missouri. Who the hell can blame them, right? And it's going to be here it's before coming. You know it. Like, in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about, all right, they're walking in and somebody's got a big TV that they can't carry in, and nobody helps them, and they fall on the curb, and we have Jamal Charles all over again. But anyway.
Just watch that hill, Karen.
We're probably like a month away from that date of this is the first football game where there won't be a football game for like...
Oh, no, hang on a second. 24 days away from the Hall of Fame game.
There it is.
We're 9 Sundays away from commercial... Are we commercial free? What's your overreaction, Mac? You got something that these old guys can get onto?
I don't know if you guys will like this, but as much as we hate Joey Chestnut, I think he may be one of the most dominant in any sport ever. Maybe the most dominant.
Name another competitor.
Kobayashi.
Besides that, that's it.
Man, nobody knows anybody else.
But people try. I mean, there are people trying to
do
this.
Who's that big dude that's like slugging lemonade?
Yeah, he's huge.
That's disgusting.
It's gross.
Have you ever taken like a long... So they drink like, what was it, a quart?
Yes.
It was a quart of lemonade. He did it in like 18 seconds.
Dude, it's crazy.
And the funniest thing I saw is like when you tell your kids...
Before he ate the hot dogs?
I know.
I think this is like his category.
Yes, this is
different. I thought the funniest thing ever, which you could probably relate to, is it's like when you tell your kids it's the only soda they get for their meal, and then he's just sitting there.
Yeah.
<It's> like,
yeah.
You can tee off on it, but you ain't getting another one.
Yeah, that's
Root beer comes in a bottle. You have to pay for it.
If no free refills, you definitely not get another one.
So many times in the restaurant industry, I want a root beer. Oh, ma'am, those are not like bottomless. Okay, you get one, and after that, it's water. You still want a root beer? Yep. Drop that bottle off, knocks it back.
I thought of you yesterday. We were having lunch, and the table sat down next to us, right? Two people, and the guy goes, are you waiting on anybody else, or is it just you two, right? Mm-hmm. He goes, just us two. Do we really need anyone else? Isn't everybody we need already here? And I was like, where's Dusty right now?
If you'd have stuck around.
How many times have you heard that one?
The worst is when there'd be like 3 menus on the table, but 2 people sitting there. And you'd be like, hey, folks, how you doing? Can I get you a drink while you're waiting on that? We've got one more coming. Yep. You did not hear a word I just said.
No.
Or you're like, got a Coke products, tea, water, lemonade. Can I do a Diet Pepsi? So I'll be back. I'll start this over, and we'll do it for you one more time. So, hey, how are you doing today? Hey, you got Coke products. Okay, I'll do a water. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Do we really need anybody? I thought you were going to get the check. You said Coke. Mm-hmm. They ordered a Diet Pepsi. Bring them the damn Coke.
I don't know, man.
90% of them aren't going to know the difference anyway.
Max, somebody says hot dog eating is not a sport.
Fair enough. Okay. It's going to take more than my 30 seconds to argue that.
I mean, you could say, is he dominating? Yeah. Has anybody dominated an
minus
activity?
Minus 1,600 before the event?
Well, yeah, I mean.
What?
Yeah, but who else are you going to bet on?
Like, no, there's no other sport like that. No one walks
is
into
that interesting,
individual
though?
Sport and at minus 1,600. Yeah. He has the 10 faster, best, whatever, numbers of hot dogs.
Yeah, which makes it very uninteresting. You know this guy's going to win.
No, I agree. Like, know? I said last week, I said to you, everyone should have a head start. Like everyone should get 30 seconds
like
or something.
Like the freeze.
Yes.
Or he just retires and goes away, and then we let the next person come in. I'm not into giving a head start.
Once, he's not
I think
that.
What they need to do is fix his grill. I think that's an advantage. That thing's like a meat grinder. Like when they show him getting all rowdy and stuff, those things look, it literally looks like when they first show you the shark in Jaws. Like no wonder he's got an advantage. He's cutting those hot dogs left and right with those chompers. Everybody else has nice, beautiful teeth. Make Chestnut get veneers. I bet that number goes down to 67.
They should do the hot dog eating contest toothless. You should have to have no teeth.
Yeah, there you go.
And, you know, like wear dentures, take your dentures out, and then eat the hot dog like that.
I'm glad that you mentioned Joey Chestnut because there's another athlete that we're not mentioning. It's not Tiger Woods. It's not Michael Jordan. But there is another athlete that might be just as or more dominant in their sport to Joey Chestnut because that was this weekend's Nathan's Hot Dog competition. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
'96.5 The Fan on a Monday. I thought it rained last night when I got to my car. It sits outside, just dew.
Oh, the dew, yeah.
Yeah. Do the dew.
They don't do that anymore, do they?
No. Remember Binkley came in here pissed they changed the label of Mountain Dew?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's just a random Tuesday for Jay.
They also got only a certain kind of Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's right. Buffalo Wild Wings is a special kind of Mountain Dew that you can only get there. Yeah.
But Mac was on his high horse because he's, you know, Mini Bink, and he was, you know, celebrating Joey Chestnut. And you had mentioned that he was the most dominant, one of the most all-time dominant athletes of his sport, right? Whether you want to say competitive eating is a sport or not, the dominance is something you can't argue.
Exactly. He dominated an activity better than maybe anybody has dominated any kind of activity.
Because you look at sports today, Aaron Judge is dominating his sport, right?
Yeah.
Scottie Scheffler is dominating golf. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, Joey Chestnut minus 1600. Scottie Scheffler at one point for a major to win it was like plus 250.
Yeah, like absurd. Really, really
like
low.
Most golf tournaments, like the lowest it starts is like Rory McIlroy is like plus, you know, 2000 to win the tournament. Rory McIlroy, right? Or like plus 900, maybe even. That's like whatever. Yeah. Tiger Woods, very dominant.
For sure.
Michael Jordan, very dominant, right?
Mahomes. I wonder what Tiger would have been if we had true gambling back then when Tiger was in the prime, you know?
Well, that's where you really had true gambling.
Well, you did, yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, where we were talking about it all the time. Like, if Tiger was playing now with the odds out there on everybody's phone like it was, I wonder what he would have been at times. He probably would have been what?
There was a
negative money at times?
I think at one point in a tournament, Scotty was negative. And I think the only one that was closer, I think they kind of went back and looked at it, and Tiger was like a minus to win a tournament. Or it was
to
like...
start?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's nuts.
Damn. Like, that's domination crazy. Right there. I mean, seriously. Yeah. But in anything, really. Like, Tiger dominated better than anybody. Mariano dominated better than anybody. Chestnut has dominated better than anybody. Bonds has dominated. Like, there are just certain players that just go out there and just dominate everything that they do. It doesn't matter who their competition is. They're just better than everybody else. I mean, I would have loved the Tiger Woods to be playing right now and be able to look at your FanDuel or whatever it is and see, oh my God, he's minus 150 at the start of the Masters. Like, it would be insane to see how big a favorite he was.
And I think the one athlete that we didn't mention that's in our rundown is Bolt.
Yeah.
Usain Bolt.
And maybe Michael Phelps.
For sure. Phelps.
Right.
Michael Phelps makes the list. Yeah.
Forgetting her name for some reason. Gymnast.
Oh,
Simone Biles.
Yes, Simone Biles for sure. Serena.
Because you look at the reason why sometimes you watch events like this, right? Like you watched swimming because of Michael Phelps. Mm-hmm. Because you knew he was going to dominate, right? Sometimes that's okay, right? Sometimes it's fun to watch Mahomes play against a team that he tends to beat all the time because you know he's going to dominate them. Or you would watch Barry Bonds be like, look, he's either going to hit a home run or he's going to walk and we're going to know right away.
Right.
Either pitch two is going to be a cutter inside and he's going to turn on it and hit into McCovey Cove, or you're going to see somebody hold up the four. And Bolt was the same way. Like any time that I knew what the track schedule was and you found the, you know, the 100 meter or whatever it was that he was so dominated in, or 200 meter, when you saw where that was at, you then went to your schedule. And that, I think, is the brilliancy and the greatness of dominance, is that when it is that great, normally it doesn't last long. Right?
No, it does not.
Like Bonds, 99 to like 02, right?
Yeah.
Tiger, 97 to 2007.
Six.
Yeah. 10 years.
Yeah,
nice.
A decade. That's a hell of a dominance.
And then
you
look at Joey Chestnut, it's been about 10 years.
Yeah.
And then you look at Usain Bolt. It was what? 3 Olympics. So maybe 12 years. Maybe that. Yeah. More likely it was 8. And you know, we'll see that in the World Cup too. Like you would watch Argentina because Messi was so great, or you go watch Inter Miami play against your team. You're going to see a guy dominate the entire field of play because it's great to watch. And I think that's okay. But I think that when you put the two together, like, man, like dominant wise, like Bolt's up there.
Yeah.
Like there were races where it's just like, just wait. And nobody, you know, and sometimes these things are late to the entire crowd. Whereas, you know, some people were like, well, I started watching Caitlin Clark when she was a junior. Okay, cool.
Good.
So a lot of people started watching when she's a senior. Some people missed Bolt in the first time he was in the Olympics. They're like, have you heard about this Jamaican guy? No, what is it? Watch this. Everybody gets like 2 feet in front of him, and then all of a sudden it's...
There's nothing better in sports than watching that 100-meter dash. I used to think that when I was watching the kids at middle school do the 100-meter dash, and you're watching them, like, and you get to the older age groups and the kids that are faster and the really, really determined runners, and you see how fast they go. And I'm like, damn, this is exciting, and like watching middle school kids do this, right? And then you watch in the Olympics and you see that 100-meter dash. I don't know that there's more of exciting 10 seconds in sports, really, than what that 100-meter dash is in the Olympics. And, I mean, it is just boom, 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 and it's done. And it's not even 10 seconds, right? It's under.
Right.
And so these guys can absolutely move. Usain Bolt was one of the most dominating athletes we'd ever seen, right? And I think he does fall into that category of some of the most dominating athletes. The Joey Chestnut thing and the way that he's dominated this hot dog eating contest, you have to wonder eventually when his stomach's going to give out. And I'm not trying to joke about that. Like, how much can you... Yeah, but how much can you eat and ingest with all of those, like,
They did his routine at one point.
Why I think he's an athlete. Yeah.
Like 3 days before he does it, I think he just drinks water.
Yeah.
And he just like expands his stomach.
He does like jaw workouts and like expands his intestines.
You've seen that thing in person.
Yeah, yeah, you really have. Like, that's not something I would train for, though.
No, but it's crazy.
It was fun. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that a debate took over the internet, but yeah, I wanted to hear what you were going to say.
No, that's what I was going to lead up to. Was PGA golfers were asked this question.
Just one 100 meters?
One hot dog, one 100 meters.
Oh, Joey Chestnut, I think.
Well, Usain Bolt, because he could eat a hot dog pretty quickly. Wait, how fast does Joey Chestnut eat one hot dog? 1.5 seconds?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm trying to think, like, if you were to eat a hot dog, I mean, Joey Chestnut would be done by now by the time we... I'm going to say... Oh, man.
Oh, both of them have to eat a hot dog and then run 100.
It's like at the starting line. So he's going to eat it so fast, he's going to get that head start.
Like swallow. Oh, I think Joey Chestnut, because I think Usain, even if he eats it as fast as he could and swallows, I don't see him eating it under 8-10 seconds. And even if Joey runs a 15-second 100 meter. So I just think like Usain eating a hot dog is going to take longer than 10 seconds.
Yeah.
He's probably running it still less than 20 seconds. I'm hard pressed to say I could eat a whole hot dog in 20 seconds. So yeah, I'm going Joey Chestnut.
I'm going Joey Chestnut.
I'm going with Usain Bolt.
I still go with whoever's going to run faster, because I think one hot dog could get wolfed down pretty quick. Now, if you said 10 hot dogs and then run, obviously. But what's that number? When does it even out? Probably like at 3 hot dogs?
I think someone said 5.
You think
10,
5?
Joey Chestnut might help.
Oh, for sure. Joey Chestnut would smoke him at 10, because eating 10 hot dogs is ridiculous. I think like even at 2, it might be close.
So what do you say?
I don't think there's much of a debate. I think it's Joey Chestnut. And the reason is because of the hot dog. I mean, this guy could eat those things faster than Usain Bolt could ever eat a hot dog, or anybody could ever eat a hot dog. I think he will have that much of a head start and be able to beat Usain Bolt. I do. Yeah, and the question obviously was, who would win if he had to eat a hot dog and then run 100 meters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Joey Chestnut has such an advantage in the hot dog eating portion of that contest.
Agreed.
I think this is a good... Both can be correct, because I've never seen Bolt eat a hot dog. I've never seen Chestnut
run.
Yeah,
that's true. Chestnut may be like Alex Gold running.
Like, he could take off. Damn. Chestnut could take off and stumble over his own feet, fall down, and then have to get back up. And by the time he gets back up, he's seeing Jamaican flag, you know, running straight through. Whereas the same thing could be true, where like Usain Bolt might be like, oh, what is this? Like, this is going to take me a while. Like, somebody said eating a hot dog in 18 seconds is insane. Like, think about that in general.
I mean, have you ever timed yourself eating a hot dog?
No.
No.
Not a chance. No. Not like, unless I was in a relationship cheating on a diet. Like, I've got 18 seconds until she gets in here.
Yeah, right.
What are you doing? Nothing.
Yeah. but you eat them on the golf course, I would imagine, right? Yeah. You got to eat them pretty fast. I mean,
about 2 minutes.
About 2 minutes, yeah. Right? And you're sitting there, you're having a conversation. Like, if you're in a contest, I mean, I still think it's Joey Chestnut, and I don't think it's close. I really don't, but I could be totally wrong on that one.
I agree.
I think if Chestnut had to eat, like they said, 3 and Bolt 1, and then you move on, then there's maybe a chance. But, man, 30 seconds per bite, 4 bites of a hot dog, you think? That's 2 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless you're going 10 seconds a bite and you're just an animal.
You're shoveling it in, and then you start running, and you're puking, and so I don't know.
Yeah, I'd be afraid that bread might come back.
That's
and say
the other
hello.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're not letting Joey do his water tricks this time.
It's just a dry dog.
Oh, it's a dry dog.
Yeah.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Dry dog, raw dog, Royals. Tonight at 6:40 against the Pirates, not Paul Skeens, but the Royals do play tonight. Vern's on deck show at 5:30. Vern today here on this show at 8:20. But coming up on the other side, buy, sell, we'll discuss here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what you up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.